stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready-Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com, or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com, for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809. Hey, everybody. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. And we got Doug Thornton here, host of American Vindicta. And he's got the best artwork for his show. I was so happy when I had people create this for me for my family in the background there. And his artwork, it's Hollywood style. So if you haven't checked out American Vindicta Show, you absolutely should. It's a phenomenal show. And when we get together, we call this the Doug and Dave Intel Report. And it's a couple of people who are really close to me have said, "This is the favorite thing that you do, Dave, that I like." I hear that quite a bit. So taking that as a supreme compliment, we're going to talk about very serious things here. And before we start, and I'm saying this more than once, in fact, when I talk about something this fearful, I want to make sure that you're hearing my message clearly. We are dealing with fearful things, and we're not going to minimize the fear impact, but we're not fear-mongering. We believe in leading by faith, but we have to fully identify the problem. And if the problem is inherent with a lot of fear, well, so be it. But then if you walk with Jesus, you have faith that you have the Almighty, and I mean Almighty overall, on your side. And that's how I'm approaching this, and I know Doug does too. We want to lead by faith, not by fear. But we're not going to sugarcoat anything on this show, which is why I think this show has grown to the level it has. People know that we really give you a good yeoman's day of work trying to get people to understand what's happening so they can make better decisions. And we are at a real crossroads in the world. The war in the Middle East, I have been quite clear that this was no surprise to anybody except for the people who got attacked, raped, decapitated. They were surprised. nobody else was. So I want Doug's opinion on that, because we really haven't explored that much off air in terms of that. Doug, what do you think? What did they know, and when did they know it?
Well, the reports are very blatant that they should have known that this attack was coming. This is probably, and I've worked with fencing like this before, early alarm system fencing, and the sensor array that they have set up, nowhere near to the complexity of Israel's. And, you know, Israel's is, you know, it's being targeted, it's in effect, and it's being worked on consistently, constantly. So there could be no issue here. And for them to hit this place on a Jewish holiday, I've said this before when Jamie Wald and I were talking, that you mean to tell me that the most under attacked country in the world, surrounded by enemies, went to sleep and no one watched the cameras? No one monitored the alarms because it's a Jewish holiday and it's Jewish law? Bullshit. I'm not that dumb. There's always somebody on what we call fire watch. There's always somebody, the watchman on the wall, that is there to make sure that this does not happen. Now, the watchman on the wall cannot be your electronic security service. It cannot be your walls and your cameras and your alarms. It has to be a man. Out from that, they knew this was coming. You hear them saying, these leaders from around the world, that this was Israel's 9/11, Pearl Harbor. Mm-hmm. Well, we knew Pearl Harbor was going to happen. That's how Roosevelt got us into World War II, because he didn't want to. The people did not want to be in World War II.
Don't forget Dick Cheney knew about 9/11 too.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so I believe not so much as the word false flag, because people then start to think of Sandy Hook stuff. You got to understand, a false flag in the terms and projections of how we're using this term is, we knew something was going to happen, so we allowed it to happen so that we could get set into motion other things that we could not pass through Parliament or through Congress. So we allowed an attack that effectively coaxed our actions and our laws and provocations. Now, talking about the Israeli parliament, they're a parliament. They're a divided system. So you have one side versus the other, Democrats versus Republicans. They're now under either, I don't know if it's an emergency united government, or if it's something else that's similar to that, or a united party. But now the two are becoming one, because Israel is under attack. They're under attack from the southeast through Hamas, the northeast through Syria. It's either Hezbollah or it's the Iranian Revolutionary Guard that's in Syria is now lobbing rockets into the northeastern sector of Israel.
You talking about the Golan Heights?
Yes. Yeah. So it's not going to be long when we see the machinations of Israel's enemies coming into full effect, and we see Bible prophecy being fulfilled. There are more nations that have to be involved in this in order for Psalm 83. But right now, from the way we read scripture, Psalm 83 is going to be the first one. It's going to be a localized war with all of the enemies that surround little Israel. And as far as I can tell right now, it doesn't appear that the Biden administration is going to give much more support than munitions and maybe some extra rockets, stuff to resupply their Iron Dome. What will it take to drag America into this conflict?
They're already in it, I think. I mean, the six ships, and I understand we're flying missions, and we're going to send in SEAL Team 6. And
so there's rumor. I heard rumor that's now turned into affirmation that the Navy SEALs, SEAL Team 6, or what we call DEVGRU, is going to be possibly involved in hostage rescues of American citizens. I absolutely hope that is the case.
Yes.
And as much as I would say, let the Navy SEALs go headhunting and scalping, it needs to be more strategic than that currently. They need to get in, get our people, and get out. Because right now, I just don't think this is the time for America to take action. I think we should support Israel and what they're doing. And anyone who says likewise is just nuts. And look, I'm not supporting the Israeli government, the Knesset, and all this other stuff. But I am damn sure not supporting Palestine and Hamas. But when innocent blood is shed, these things are going to happen. The Israelis have attacked the Palestinians. The Palestinians have attacked the Israelis. If it wasn't for the fact of the brutality and the savagery of what happened, I almost think we would all just blink a couple times and go, oh, they're at it again. But to see the barbarity that is Hamas, that is ISIS, that is Al-Qaeda, that is the Taliban, that is all Boko Haram, Hezbollah, these groups from Africa to the Levant, even to the ISIS supporters, the Islamic extremist supporters that are in Thailand, they all act the same. There's a level of barbarity there.
There is.
That just cannot be tolerated. Do you know what would happen if we decided to put on another crusade? The whole world would condemn Christians. Probably not the Catholics, but the Christians. The whole world would condemn it. I think the Catholics would push it. And when I say Catholics, my friendly Catholics out there, I mean your popery, the Vatican, would push it because...
How about the Jesuits? How about that?
Okay. All of that, because that pushes towards that New World Order alignment that the Antichrist needs. There has to be that New World religion. So madness begets madness. Violence begets violence. The world loves madness. The world loves violence. The world hates love. And the world hates Jesus. So if we decided to go, if America was attacked in the same similar way that Israel was attacked, the estimation is those 900 civilians that were brutally slaughtered, and we'll talk about how that brutality here in just a second, but the 900 civilians or more, I think it's actually 1,200 now that have been murdered.
1,200, yeah, so I understand.
That's equivalent to losing 30,000 people in America. 30,000. That's a whole city gone. Gone.
10 times more than 9/11.
That's right. And do you not think we would not level a town, a city state? Do you not think that
this administration
wouldn't do it?
This administration wouldn't do it.
The
Trump would do it.
The average response, the average American response is we're going to come and put our foot up your ass.
Yeah, that's right.
You asked for it, and we're going to come do it. That would be the average response, and it would be a just response. Now, brutality-wise, Dave, there's reports of 40 dead children, to include toddlers, to include infants. Infants, mothers and fathers, you better think about this one. And they decapitated, cut the heads off of these children, shot these children. Do you know what it takes to shoot a child? I've seen it done. I've seen it done in war. Do you know what it takes? Do you know what it takes then to take a knife? A knife is a very intimate thing. I've seen many people stabbed. You know what it takes to take a knife and to saw through the flesh and the sinew and the tendon, the vocal cords, the spinal column of a baby? It takes a evil, satanic piece of shit. And the fact that when Israel responds and they start to level Gaza, you brought your blood, this blood upon your own head. And now, does it surprise anybody that Black Lives Matter and Antifa and the Rashida Tlaibs and Ilhan Omars and all these other, Cory Booker, who else was it?
What do you make of him? Hold on. What do you make of him being over there when this happened?
I don't understand why he was there. If he had died, I would understand why he was there. I think the left willfully sacrifices their own all the time to pull people into conflict. But most
Hold on. I don't want to leave this point. Just a second. Are you suggesting that he was set up to be a sacrificial lamb, but it didn't happen in order to gain momentum for what's happening?
Oh, these people don't make mistakes. If he was going to die, he would be dead.
Okay. All right. So that's not the case. And then we have to ask why he's there. Was he an intelligence operative on the ground with some mission or duty?
There's no telling, man. There's no telling. But we know that 90% of Congress are dual citizens of Israel. 90% of
Congress. Yeah, and that shouldn't be allowed. And it's not a knock on Israel, but you're either an American or you're not. Yep. If you're a dual citizen, we don't want you in our government. I don't care what nation it is. No, I don't care if you're a member of the planet Mars. If you have dual citizenship, we do not want you.
There's a level of loyalty there that has to become called into question at that point.
Well, it explains some of the things we're seeing coming out of Congress. That's
yes. Yeah. Hey, look, I'm all about protecting God's people, God's land, and praying mm-hmm. for God's people.
I agree.
And God's land. But they are a godless government. They're one of the highest populations of reprobates and reprobate behavior in the world. And yet still people ask themselves, why does this brutality have to happen? Why must the children of Israel constantly suffer? It's because they constantly leave the presence of their God. That's why. Look, yeah, I'm not.
They're fallible like anybody else. You know, I want to point this out to make your point. Chuck Schumer, I have never heard him in all the years that he's uttered his nonsense ever say anything pro-American or in defense of decency. Never, not one time. I mean, first grader is learning about oral sex, okay? Yeah, he's fine with that. He's fine with violence from Antifa, killing people, doesn't matter to him. But then when Harvard was silent about the attack into Israel, he went off. And I'm thinking, that's the first time you sounded like a decent human being. We found his trigger.
Well, he is
more loyal to Israel than he is to America. That's my take. What's your take on that?
Yes. So Israel has become its own idol. The nation state of Israel, and then the willingness to survive all these battles has become its own ideology in Israel. And once again, do you think Chuck Schumer believes in God? If so, do you think he truly prays? I don't think so. Not with the things.
Judge a man by his works. Yeah.
Yeah. Not by his works. Absolutely not. He's a reprobate. He's a Babylonian. But once again, it calls into effect that we have, and he's Jewish, I believe, you have people who are coming to the call for protection for the Jewish state. The Jewish state. That's like if King David decided to build an idol out of his kingdom and no longer give homage to God, but he gives homage to the strength of the Hebrews. That is what Israel has become now. There is no more, you know, worshiping of God. And I'm not saying that there's not. I'm not saying there's not people in Israel worshiping God. I'm not going to say there's not Jews out there worshiping God correctly. But the whole of Israel is to be that way, not a selective group. And many of them, the Orthodox Jews and so on and so forth, it has become a sense of pride for them. So their pride and their own religion has become a stumbling stone for them. And yet they still all deny Christ, even though Christ was predicted from the beginning to the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Christ said, which one of your fathers has not killed one of the prophets? There's a history here that is shown in the Bible. If you go to Psalm 81 and 82, where God is always calling the people before these large battles, God's calling the people, come back to me, stop sinning, worship me as your God, come back to me, your first love, come back to me. And a stiff-necked people don't do it. Stiff-necked, prideful, spiteful, they believe in their own strength, and God has to cripple them. God has to make them suffer. And God will do everything he can to bring them back to the bosom, to bring them back to reprieve so that they are not annihilated. What kind of God would God be if he said, you will be my people and I will be your God and I'll let the whole world destroy you? And ha, see, no,
that's
God,
not, that's not the case. That's not happening
here.
And I think that the leadership of Israel, and I don't care for Netanyahu, but I pray that he makes good decisions here. But the leadership of Israel, in my mind, is not godlike. It's lucky they're Israel. And that's why I believe they have God's protection.
Yeah.
Not because of their leadership. Their leadership, I think, has nothing to do with God's protection.
Well, I think what is happening to Israel will soon be happening to us. Let's move on with this conversation. We have heard of rumors of retribution from Islamic terror groups and Islamic extremists in America. Last night, New York City put out a BOLO, a Beyond the Lookout report, for Islamic extremists, active shooters, suspicious individuals, a suspicious activity report, which is called a SAR report. And so they are gearing up for the inevitable terror incident. It's going to happen, if not multiple. We here at the Common Sense Show and on the Doug and Dave Intel Report have been saying, shouting from the rooftops, Dave, at least 2 years straight. By the time we get to an election season, if we're not in World War III or Civil War, we're going to be shocked. If the dollar is still working, we are really going to be shocked. And by the time the election process gets up and going, 2024, you're going to see multiple terror events. You're going to see something worse than you saw in 2020 with the riots, especially if Donald Trump is still up and walking around and not behind bars or underground. And now nations are starting to fall on Israel. We are going to be next because we say all the time, we back Israel. We're here to support Israel. This may move us into a very not well-known operation.
Operation Nitro Zeus.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to get into that right now or not.
Yeah, we can. But before we go there, though, I want to interject something here. Ladies and gentlemen, I think it's important that you understand how Doug and I feel. We've talked about this, and I think a lot of you have the same feelings, that the Democrats and the Uniparty, they're joined together, they will not stop at anything to retain power. And ever since Biden's come into office, he's done nothing but snub Netanyahu. He's embarrassed Israel. He's turned his back on Israel. He's been rude to Israel on numerous occasions. Now, all of a sudden, where they're backing him, and I want you to understand Biden's motivation, because he ain't about Israel. Biden is about Biden. And this war increases his popularity as it does any president at the beginning of a war. And this war is a convenient distraction away from his blatant treason with China and blatant criminality with Ukraine and China. And that's why he's with Israel, because it's a distraction. And Doug, by the time we get to an election, if we have one, and I mean if we have one, it would not surprise me if the Democrats are trailing because Donald Trump is running. It wouldn't surprise me if they didn't cooperate. And this is going to be the most controversial thing I've ever said on the air. But would it surprise me if we learned that key Democrats partnered with terrorists that they already fund to drive by polling places and massacre Americans so they stay at home? That wouldn't surprise me in the least. Doug, when you do this long enough, you have to think like the enemy to really anticipate what's possible.
Let's talk about something that was just announced as you and I are talking. That's not going to shock anyone now. Go back into history real quick. The CIA helped to create, fund, train, and deeply established the Taliban when Russia was invading, right? We took Osama bin Laden and his brother down into Texas, and we taught them how to fly planes. We taught them how to destroy tanks. Rock Springs, Texas, my brother used to live there. You can actually go and see the old tank husks or hulks. I don't know what they're called. But you can actually go and see the destroyed tanks that we let the Taliban destroy to teach them how to do it. We created Al-Qaeda. We created ISIS. Mossad from Israel created Hamas.
Yes.
Iran, through China, created Hezbollah. So, though the jihadis are there, the funding and all the other stuff that goes into it, everything besides letting the crazy guy in the pajamas and the AK scream into a microphone about jihad and then go out and actually commit it, everything else comes from a government think tank. Manipulated, controlled, and then put forth on a mission. Just announced right now, a worldwide jihad has been declared by Hamas. They say that they're calling for a worldwide jihad for global Muslim uprising against Israel and the West starting on Friday the 13th.
How appropriate.
How appropriate. What month are we in? October. We're in the most highly satanically involved month of the year. If you do not understand how the satanic calendar works, almost every other day in October involves a human sacrifice, building up to All Hallows Eve, where it is sacrifices and blood rituals. Everything that we see right now is a satanic agenda. God is in control. Do not fear, but have situational awareness. God is in control. But, and there's a big but there, Satan has an agenda. He is unleashed upon the world for a reason. As these people are calling for a worldwide jihad, I would call for a worldwide repentance of your sins. Repent of your sins. Just like these Israeli families that were all killed the same night they were sleeping and then throughout the day, if they did not repent, if they did not push forth in their faith, they died in their sins. I don't want that for people. And that's very harsh. I'm not quarterbacking off the bodies of the dead. But as men of God, we must speak out. You must repent of sins. Satan's army is here. They are ready. And they are out and operating. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, I want to go back to, we brought up 9/11. I had an interesting encounter in 9/11 too, and it didn't hit me for a while, Doug, and it was in advance of 9/11. It's when my wife and I were looking to get out of the city, and so we were out north of Phoenix, not where we are now, and we went in and saw a home that was occupied. And the realtor said, yeah, the owner's off training and learning how to fly planes. And turned out this was one of the jihadis of 9/11. And do you know what I saw in the bedroom? A picture of this man standing with George W. Bush. A posed picture. I'm not making this up. That's a true story. And then as far as you're talking about the threat, the attack comes on Saturday. Okay. So Saturday afternoon, my family and I did something we haven't done in years. We went to a college football game. And as we're walking out of the stadium, there are two armored cars with SWAT teams in them. I've never seen that as Arizona State's football game against Colorado. I've never seen that at Arizona State ever. And I went to a game after 9/11 the following year, and the security was still high. Never saw that. The only thing I've seen comparable is when I was going to the World Series, it was like a month after 9/11, there were snipers on the rooftop, and our snipers, good guys. So but I thought you'd find that a little interesting. But as far as what you're saying here, I have been saying this. I've said this now for 3 days. Anytime you go to a live air event, a concert, if you're going to a church, if your kids are in school, and I'm not trying to give you fear, but you got to realize, if you were a terrorist, what do you want to do? Why do you think they cut the heads off those babies? They wanted maximum horror and maximum terror to strike people's hearts. Well, what are the targets that will do that? Innocent concert goers. In fact, we saw that in Israel, where 260 people butchered that were attending a concert. And also, they'll go to schools. And Doug, I've learned a little bit about how the terrorists train with this. I did shows on this with John Guandola. He told us that they'll attack an elementary school, but they'll put a perimeter up so the first responders get ambushed before they can render any help. I mean, that's the kind of thing, folks, that we can expect to see happen in our country. And who can we thank for that? Mr. Open Borders himself. Marjorie Taylor Greene, and I've said this a few times now, had a good quote the other day. She said, low-end estimate, 1.5 million illegals have crossed into the United States in the last several months. And she said, if just 1% are terrorists, that's 15,000 that can be let loose on us. So, Doug, throwing it back to you, let's put it this way. I'll be shocked if it doesn't happen.
Well, we're seeing multiple different things start up here in America. Many people are in support of Palestine. To me, that's absolutely disgusting, but hey, shows you how the world really is. And many countries, many Western countries, if not every Western country, has a large amount of either politicians or the people that support what the Palestinians did. There's this new sticker or t-shirt going on that says, I support Palestine, and it's one of the paragliders.
I saw that.
Guy in a parachute.
Probably Tlaib owns the t-shirt company that's producing it. Tongue-in-cheek comment.
Yeah, it's disgusting. You know, it's like the people who cheered for Christ when he was crucified. I mean, that's what I kind of relate it to. Never underestimate the depravity of man. Rashida Tlaib hangs a Palestinian flag, probably never been to Palestine, probably never lived in Palestine. I think she is Palestinian.
Well, but she's from Somalia, though, isn't she?
No, that's Ilhan Omar. That's another weirdo.
Married her brother, yeah.
Yeah, but she doesn't wear the hijab. She probably doesn't follow the actual laws of the Quran, but she's all about supporting it. And do you know what they all have something in common? They're all socialist. BLM supports it, socialist. Antifa supports it, socialist communist. I saw a flag that said Queers for Palestine.
You're kidding me.
On Twitter, and the comments were perfect. Like the first comment that was underneath this picture was, does anybody want to tell them? And of course, it was four young white girls with their hair cut short with the rainbow this and rainbow that. You see, Dave, people who are not experienced in the world, people who have not traveled outside the world, do not understand the way the world works, especially these young people. I can affirmatively tell you that if I were to travel to Afghanistan and I had these four women with their hair cut short, dressing like boys, the nose rings and the rainbow hair, and they decided not to wear a hijab and go into any village, bad things are going to happen to them. Sexually bad things are going to happen to them. And if I go to any Middle Eastern country with those same women, sexually bad things to the extent of being murdered and paraded around the streets of Gaza are going to happen to you. So the pure hubris here of people in the West, of people in America, to support barbarism shows you that if they support that 3,000 miles away, when that same attack happens in New York, they'll support it then. Until they're running down the street for their lives and the gangs of men coming after them to rape them to death and then parade their bodies, will they not disagree? It takes that level of violence now for young women to understand these are bad people, bad people. But yet they're afraid of Donald Trump. They're afraid of MAGA. They're afraid of the American flag. They don't like the cross and what it represents, but yet they embrace communism and socialism. They embrace depravity and barbarism. And I'm telling you, at this rate, this is at least 30 to 40% of our country. So the day we get invaded, or the day this international jihad and all these people decide to start fighting in America, it's just one more group of people to add to the list of who's going to be out there trying to get you, trying to hurt you, making your life even more miserable. When the power goes down, these people will be up and operating. When law enforcement decides to no longer show up, these people will be out on the streets tearing it apart. And then the real jihadis will show up and they will murder everyone that's not them. Everyone. And the thing about it is these people love bloodlust. They love bloodlust. They will actively have you join them. And then inside your own groups, if you're a woman, you're not going to be treated the same. I've watched these people use their women as donkeys and whip them for not carrying the sugar cane enough. I've watched it. We were in a LPOP, a listening post observation post in Iraq, and we watched a guy whipping women with a piece of sugar cane where they were carrying bundles of this stuff that I think I would struggle with. This is how they treat women. And yet stupid young white liberals think that they have a place amongst these people. This is the ignorance of America. But these same people from Harvard, Dave, would you like to speak on that? There's 30 groups from Harvard that support the attack from Palestine into Israel.
You know, it's typical of university life. This is what you get. It's not just Harvard. Let me give you an example. Arizona State.
Hey, hold on. We just got an intelligence update. It is now confirmed U.S. special operations are on the ground in Israel.
Yeah, well, hopefully. But if Biden's going to play the role of distraction, he's got to go through the motions. That doesn't surprise me.
Nitro Zeus. So,
yeah, I hear you. But well, that's not. Now, where did you say they're located?
In Israel. They're in Israel right now. They're operating in Israel.
Yeah. Well, I think what we're going to see is they're going to be in Iran. We'll get to that in a minute. But you asked me to address Harvard. I'll address Harvard through ASU. There's a lady out there now, Kristen Williamson. She's appearing on a lot of talk shows. Very articulate, and she knows what she's talking about. And she's talking in part about what I wrote about 10 years ago, 2013, when I wrote an article in June of 2013 about the president of Arizona State University, Michael Crow, CIA. He was the chairman of the board for InQtel. Folks, you don't get much more intelligence than that. And that's the man that sets the policies like, we're a sustainable university, every leftist cause. And they have a student body of about 100,000 people total. And they're perverting the minds of these kids. I went to the rollout at the college I was teaching and coaching at the time, Doug, and I don't remember the year. I think it was about 2011. And I don't know why they invited me, but I was invited to go to the rollout of Arizona State's sustainability program, okay, which is basically cult science, not based on legitimate research techniques. And I'm sitting there and I'm listening to their dribble. And one of them said, "You professors, do not teach your students that America is an exemplary nation. You're doing a disservice to humanity." And all, it was all this American, anti-American rhetoric. And I listened to it, and the lady next to me was an English professor, the same place I was at. And she was kicking me under the table. "Dave, don't do it. Dave, don't say it." And she knew me. And I said, "Okay." And I couldn't take it. As they approached the end, I said, "What should we tell our students?" "Tell them the truth." "And the truth would be what?" "And who can we point to in the world who is representative of what you think a nation should be?" And then he looks at me. You could see I was serious. I said, "Would that be Russia or China? Because right now I don't know which one I'm sitting closer to." And I said, "You're lucky there's a First Amendment that allows you to talk the way you're talking. Because if you were in one of those socialist countries that you love so much right now, you'd be 6 feet under." And that's Arizona State University, and Harvard's that way on steroids. Every perverted cause in America, whether it's teaching first graders oral sex, teaching white kids and black kids to hate each other under CRT, no matter what it is, these people in Harvard are going to be on board with it because they are training their students to be subversives. And they stack their professors with anti-American Marxists who will do the job in the classroom. And by the way, at Arizona State, if you say, "Show me the proof for your climate change," you know what happens to these students? 86th. They're kicked out. And I know. I've had students contact me and tell me, So that's my reaction to Harvard. It's symptomatic of virtually every major university, Ivy League, state-run universities. Now, do you have some private ones that are okay? Yeah, but even some of them are going woke. It's like the Episcopalian Church and their views on sexuality, anything but biblical. This is what we have, people. We've been through a Maoist cultural revolution, and our kids were the target. Let's go to Operation Nitro Zeus, because that's clearly what's coming next.
Well, all right. So Operation Nitro Zeus. This is a military involvement. I'm not going to give every bit of detail into this, but this is a military involvement, coalition of forces, coalition of military branches would be involved. Let's say the objective goal is for the United States Special Forces and Air Force to neutralize nuclear centrifuges in a certain country. For right now, we'll just say, because of the actions happening in Israel, Iran. All right. Could be any country, but let's just say Iran. The goal for this is to get our special operations guys into these bunkers, into these underground nuclear silos, to either destroy the nuclear centrifuges or disarm nuclear missiles, however it is that they do it. And the accepted loss for a satisfactory mission is 80% of all United States Armed Forces Special Operations members to be dead. That is an acceptable loss.
Will this be done with IDF Special Forces?
No, this is us. This is us.
Just us and only us.
Yeah, this is the United States invading not a town, not a territory, a nation. And taking down a nation in less than 24 hours. It is a all-out blitzkrieg that will involve CAG, Combat Application Group, occasionally known as Delta, that will involve the probably DEVGRU of the Navy SEALs and some of their other teams. Marine Corps MARSOC would be involved. The Army Rangers will be involved for the airfield. We have to land guys on the airfields, and if the LZ's hot, then they're going to be dropping in. And almost all of this is probably going to be by parachute, by the way, dropping in and destroying the airfield so that no planes can land or take off after they're there. The Air Force will have TACP operators out there that'll be calling in any type of air assault mission that they can, I guess, and also probably navigating the airways for any type of reconnaissance that needs to be done or any type of medical evacuations. You're also going to have a element most likely of ground forces, so probably the Army Infantry Brigades, Marine Corps infantry divisions will be involved. I would say if we're going to do this, then whatever place that we land next to, we're going to be in either a friendly territory or we're going to have to hit two nations at once so that we can have a welcome wagon, because whoever survives this attack is going to have to flee and is going to have the ability to get out of there. And once we hit, let's say it is Iran, if we hit Iran, we would need to put our units, ground forces, guys like what I did, strategically in the way for a blockade of anything from ISIS or Taliban. I could almost see if ISIS and the Taliban were getting mobilized to move into Jerusalem via Jordan or Iran, that we would probably send our guys in it doesn't have to be much to stop these idiots either. It really doesn't. Send our guys in as a big distraction. So we would be out there fighting ISIS, fighting the Taliban. It's going to be a huge distraction, but it's secondary because if our guys need to get out of there and extract, then we create a doorway for them. The Rangers will be, even though they're going to be in there tearing up the airfields, they're going to then go to the nearest city and attack it. And that is strictly for the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, let's say, if we are attacking Iran, to then draw them in so that our higher elite teams can insert themselves into those tunnels, into those silos, and do whatever it is they have to do. They have specialized equipment that they'll be parachuted in with that will be able to get them into almost any doorway possible. I'm not going to go into what that equipment is or the vehicles they'll be using, but it will be done quick, fast, and in a hurry.
How will the vehicles get there? What's the method for delivery?
It's all by parachute.
Even the vehicles?
Everything. Everything. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't want to get into what they are, but everything is on these very unique ATVs.
Okay.
That will have everything cutting tool-wise implemented on it so our guys can, as quickly as possible, get in, get their job done, and get the hell out. Before anything, there'll be disruption of telecommunications, probably, if not electromagnetic pulse hits, then maybe using something like a CHAMP missile. CHAMP missile creates a very short electromagnetic pulse effect. You can aim it at New York City and knock out only New York City with it. And then it's going to be softening blows from the Air Force. The Air Force is going to fly in and they're going to bomb the living hell out of Iran. There should be nothing standing. And whoever is standing and fighting, the Marines and the Rangers are going to be there to draw them out, most likely.
Where will the bulk of your casualties come from? You said 80%.
The entire operation is expected to have an 80% loss. Let's move into a secondary thought here. If you lose 80% of your active duty, even reservists, like the OGA guys from Special Forces, if you lose 80% of your active Special Forces guys, you're not going to be able to just recruit these guys, you know, from the street. You're going to have to take guys from the ranks that are either going through the Q course, going through qualification courses, in the pipeline for the different levels of training, and they're either going to have to be spun up or they're just going to go live. And that means there's going to be a huge element of experience, a gap of experience that we cannot exactly fill quickly. We'll have to go to the ranks of infantry and pull from the most senior, the most elite of our infantry units, and then make them fill that. Or they'll have to go to the training cadre at the training blockhouses. And they'll have to pull these guys more or less out of a retirement mode and put them back into the line of service. We cannot recover from that. And not only that, I want you to consider, if we did bomb Iran and we went through this entire decapitation scenario in Iran, do you think Russia would stand there and just let that happen?
That was my next question. What's going to be Russia's response when we attack, and won't they see us coming?
Well, who is a bigger supporter of Iran? It's China. So this then goes into more of a almost Ezekiel 38 type of warfare, Ezekiel 38, 39, where you're going to see Gog and Magog and the kings of the East be involved in the attack on Israel. Now, I promise you, Dave, and to anyone listening, if we attacked Iran, all out attacked Iran. Israel says we know for a fact Hamas and Hezbollah are being funded by Iran. They're killing more people. They've killed the American victims, and the kidnappers are cutting their heads off. They're cutting the heads off of children. America, if you don't do something, Israel is dead. And because Biden promised everything for this event, and so has every president, then we would commit a totality of our force that is just enough needed to kill the main threat of that entire region, which is Iran, right? And not the Persian people per se. Not the Persian people per se. I've actually known quite a few Persians. The Iranians that live in the countryside, they refer to themselves as Persians. They're actually very friendly people.
Yeah, they are.
I was on a detail where we were assigned to protect James Comey for some weekend or one day, cost us a weekend, but one day frolicking. We stayed at a hotel that was owned by a bunch of Iranians. And they were very lovely people. They knew I was a Christian. My partner was a Christian, and they were more than pleasant with us. But they actually really went into detail about how the IRGC, the Iranian Royal Guards, they will corral people that are in Tehran and force them at gunpoint to shout death to America. So the Ayatollahs and all these other people, these are extremists. They need a chaotic warfare for the 12th Mahdi to come back.
Yeah, I agree. And that gets into the mullahs, and I want to do another show on that, but we are out of time. So let's sum all this up. Is this going to end in Palestine, or is this going to ramp up? Just
it's going to ramp up.
Yeah,
it's going to ramp up.
I agree. But we should do something on the mullahs, because they want the end times, and that's scary as hell, because they don't care about how many billions die.
Yeah,
they have a lower regard for life than Joe Biden.
Yeah, that's why they don't want Israel and Saudi Arabia to be friends.
Yeah, well, it's a little late for that. So Saudi Arabia ought to be quaking in their boots right now. In fact, if I was Saudi Arabia, I'd be ramping up oil production to keep Biden's ships off the coast. I mean, that's what I would be doing, but who knows? Sometimes religious dogma is thicker than common sense. Doug, thanks so much for doing this. This is Dave Hodges, The Common Sense Show, for my partner, Doug Thornton of American Vindicta. And you've been listening or watching The Common Sense Show. And we look forward to seeing you back here next time. Train, prep, and pray. Doug's famous words. We'll see you guys back here next time. Thanks, Doug.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com, or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.